You're listening to the Cyclics podcast, your number one source for junior and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cyclics podcast. We're giving you a lot of podcasts in a row these days, but there's a lot of news and therefore a lot to talk about. So as you definitely, the Leaving Cert students will know, we've had a couple of announcements last week regarding the Leaving Cert 2021, what's going on. And because of all the announcements made, there are obviously a lot of questions, a lot of things on the minds of the 6 years, and not just 6 years, obviously also teachers and other people who are interested, like Study Clicks workers, like the Inessa. So we thought the best course of action was to get someone who knows a lot about this on. And one of those is our favorite guidance counselor out there, which is Donica O'Mahony. Donica, how are you?
I'm very good. Almost a resident Study Clicks guidance counselor.
Yeah, you're sick of coming on our podcast at this stage.
No, I love it.
So before we get started, if anyone's tuning into the Study Clicks podcast for the first time, you're listening to Emer and Nessa, where we both work for Study Clicks. And Donica is a career guidance counsellor. He also runs his own Instagram account. Donica, feel free to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's Leaving Cert Guidance, the Instagram account is. And always around this time of the year, followers start to pick up because people are concerned about what's going on, whether it's CAO, and the last couple of years, what the story is with the Leaving Cert and all. So feel free to join Leaving Cert Guidance or follow Leaving Cert Guidance as well.
Yeah, definitely give Donica a follow and listen to his wonderful podcast as well. There's a lot of great tips and advice. So if you're a Leaving Cert student and not following him already, you should definitely get on that train. So anyway, this podcast, we're going to be asking Donica all about the latest announcements that were made, and we'll try to cover out everything. Now, I suppose we have to add a little disclaimer before we go too much further, saying that a lot of this is will probably be prefaced with, you know, they're still talking about this or we're still waiting on details. Isn't that right, Donica?
Yeah, no, that's right. No. So last Wednesday evening, we had a bit of a press release, which was a bit of a relief because we'd so much media speculating and kind of dropping hints as to what was going on, which I always think is very unfair on students. I think it's very unfair on schools as well. I kind of said this in my podcast. Schools seem to be the last people to know. Like, you're talking about very confidential meetings with cabinet, with education stakeholders, and all this has been leaking out. And I really don't like it because it puts students under more pressure than they actually are already. And I'd love if there was like a little bit of an investigation to see why all this stuff has been leaked out in confidential meetings, and that schools and students are kind of last to know what's going on.
And I know we did a survey last week where we asked students how they felt about the latest announcements, and there was an overwhelming sense of relief, I think, among a lot of students because they finally got some clarity. They finally have a decision. They finally know a little bit about what's going on now. And I can only imagine the sort of built up anxiety on just not knowing and just hearing rumours all over the place. So I think that's definitely a great relief for a lot of people that they have some clarity, even if there's some questions unanswered still.
Yeah, well, that's, as you said, clarity. And I know Ruben Murray from ISSU, the president there, said their main objective was to get clarity as soon as possible. But as you said, you know, there isn't a huge amount of clarity just yet. So there's some questions. The broader questions are answered, but there's still a lot of the smaller, finer details to be ironed out just yet.
Yeah. So we're going to sort of get into FAQs that seem to be among students. We also did an Instagram live, which you can check out on our Instagram page at Study Clicks on Instagram if you want to check out that as well, which you were in as well, Donica. But we had a lot of questions coming into the comments there, and we have a lot of questions coming in to customer service and our social media. So we're going to try and address those today. We won't get them all covered, but we'll do our best. So I think the big one is, so first of all, we're moving from predicted / calculated grades to accredited grades. So do you want to give us a brief overview of what an accredited grade is?
Yeah, so it's very confusing. So predicted grades, calculated grades, accredited grades. So basically we never really had predicted grades. Predicted grades is what your teacher provides, what they provided to the Department of Education last year and what they're providing to the SEC this year. So your teacher does the predicted grade part. Calculated grades and accredited grades are essentially the same thing, except this year, both the Leave Insert written exam and the calculated grades are being looked after by the State Examinations Commission. They did not look after the calculated grades last year because, you know, there was legislation had to be brought in to say that they could look after calculated grades because they're only allowed to look after exams and all this. But when this news kind of came out in January, I actually thought it was really significant news that the SEC were looking after both, because the SEC always use a national standardization process for the Leave Insert exams. Students have probably heard mention of the bell curve, which is more or less a national standardization process. So they're well used to doing this. And I think they'll bring in their expertise into the area of accredited grades as well. So they're called SEC accredited grades. So I suppose the first part of that is that your teacher will provide a predicted grade. So the predicted grade will be based on all the work more or less you've done in fifth and sixth year. They can use homework, they can use tests, you know, whether they're school tests or class tests, whatever the case may be. And right up until the 14th of May, your teacher is allowed to use all of that data. And there has been an issue for teachers, as you probably guess, of collecting this data in the last couple of years because, you know, school has been stop-start and, you know, it's very difficult to collect significant data over Zoom when you're trusting students, I suppose, not to be cheating in tests and things like that. So I think March, April, May, you're going to see teachers collecting a lot of data. Whether you decide to do the accredited grades or the state exam, either way, it's going to benefit the student to, you know, be part of this kind of data collection. So they'll collect the data right up until the 14th of May. 28th of May, all schools close. Then teachers and schools have until the 4th of June to send in all of that data, their predicted grades, everything, to the State Examinations Commission. And then on the 9th of June, then, the written Leave Insert exam starts. So I suppose you've got a few options that you're looking at. You can either sit the Leave Insert and that's it, you don't want anything else. You can just get the SEC accredited grades and that's it, I don't want to sit any exams, I don't do anything else. Or you can have a combination of both, whether that's sitting all seven exams and getting all seven accredited grades as well, or mixing and matching. You're going to see a lot of students, and this is a question that's been put to me an awful lot, and Nessa asked on the live the other day, is, you know, what formula will work best for students? And we probably might dig into that a little bit later on, but that's kind of what you're looking at with the SEC accredited grades and then the written exam and the options that you're going to have.
And I suppose a takeaway from that is, regardless of what you plan on doing, you should still put a lot of work into whatever you're doing from now until the 14th of May, because even if you're getting all accredited grades or you're going to sit all the exams, you will need to put the work in.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's really important. So teachers are going to be quite vigilant over the next few months to see what you're doing, what work you're putting in. And now, will any work you've done before as well will come into it. But it doesn't just stop there. So when you get to the, so you could say, look, I know my teacher is going to give me a H3 and that's what I was looking for. Well, that's fine. Your teacher might be giving you the H3, but when it goes into the national standardization process, will you be knocked down to a H4? Maybe you'll be brought up to a H2. Maybe you'll be stay at the H3. Maybe you could even be knocked down to a H5. So there's that unpredictability with the standardization process that you can be sure almost what your teacher has given you, but you can't be sure then when it goes into an accredited grade, what way it's going to come out.
Perfect. Donica, are you by any chance, because it's just addressing kind of specific questions that we got, that people have concerns about the national standardization process and what exactly is involved in that? Because people would have heard these stories of last year's Leaving Cert class and they like got downgraded, and people, would you just be able to say what exactly contributes towards national standardization? I know a lot of people asked, does this involve class ranking? Does this involve school area or what kind of school you go to?
Yeah, so I could probably tell you more what it doesn't involve rather than what it involves. So it won't involve class ranking, because that was very controversial, particularly among teachers last year. So teachers were initially told, you know, you can do these class rankings and, you know, the student will have to request to be able to see it and all this. And then it was kind of given to the students more or less. So teachers weren't kind of happy with that. So they don't want the class ranking to go ahead this year, and it's not going to go ahead. school profiling was also a big kind of controversial topic last year. And school profiling basically means that it goes on your school's history, your school's Leaving Cert history. So if you're from a school that traditionally gets all H1s, well, then the likelihood is, you know, you'd probably get a H1 too. Or if your school traditionally doesn't do well, well, it's likely that you're not going to do well. So, which was completely unfair, because you could be a very talented student in a school maybe that doesn't traditionally do well in the Leaving Cert. So it wasn't a fair process. So it was actually kind of maybe even a week before the Leaving Cert results were to come out that the minister scrapped this and didn't like the idea of school profiling. And I would agree with that. And I agree with the ranking as well. I'm not a fan of the ranking for, you know, and it's very discouraging for students even. I even think if I was a student, I wouldn't look at the ranking because I don't want to know kind of where I sat in class, you know, where I was viewed as, was I 9th or 10th or was I 20th or 21st? You know, it can be very discouraging to students who are trying to make their next step in their educational life. And it's not something, you know, I would like a student to see. But at the time, I suppose teachers thought the likelihood is they're not going to see it, so I don't mind doing it. But that wasn't how it turned out. So I know unions were very particular that the rankings wouldn't happen. And school profiling, I think, is a good thing that's not happening as well. But with regard to the national standardization process and how it works, they actually haven't come out and said specifically how it's going to work. If it's the same as last year, there will be some junior cert results taken into account to calculate that grade. But I don't know, that's only speculation, if it's going to be the same as it was last year. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see what the process is going to be.
You spoke very briefly earlier on about, you said, you called it a formula about like students now approaching their Leaving Cert and they're kind of thinking, should I take the accredited grade? Should I sit the written exam as well? What would be your recommendation for students who are wondering how best to approach this?
Yeah, I think it's a very personal thing, this one, you know, how it's going to work out best for you. And I think that even came across in the Study Clicks survey. Like, I think most students who were looking for 550 plus points are looking at sitting the majority of the exams because they don't want to leave it up to the accredited grade, which becomes the calculated grade. Is it going to stay that way? Is it not? You know, a few students were stung last year where their teachers gave them the grade they were looking for, but then the process, the calculated grade process, brought them back down. And, you know, if you're looking for that amount of points, that's a very difficult scenario to figure out. So I think that the best scenario would be to sit at least six, you know, the six you're going to count. You could sit down and think, look, I wasn't going to count English as my top six anyway, in my top six. So I'm happy enough to take the accredited grade in that, and I'll probably take the six. Some students might play it different and say, look, I'm really good at history. I always get a H1. I'd really enjoy sitting the history exam. I might sit my two best and see can I get H1s in that. Or some people could be very calculated and think I'm going to do my fifth and sixth subject, my fifth and sixth, you know, worst ones in the CEO calculation. And where they're usually H4s, I'm going to try to get them up to H2s because that'll be my only focus between now and June, is to get those up as best I can. So it is a very personal thing. You would have to kind of take your time, get away from everybody, sit down yourself for a good hour and figure out how can I use this system best for me. And that's only the student can really decide that, because a huge amount of students have contacted me to figure out what's the best formula. And the best formula is only you could figure out, really, I think.
Yeah, and you mentioned on the Instagram Live as well that try and take your own mental health into it as well, that if not sitting an exam, that's the thought of this exam has caused you anxiety for the last 2 years, then you have a great opportunity now to take that relief or sort of relieve yourself of that anxiety by choosing not to do it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of students in that situation. Yeah, there's so many students in that situation. And I talk to so many students in that situation, or even sitting any exam because of how the Leaving Cert has played out the last 2 years, that they just don't like the idea of sitting an exam. And look, you can get accredited grades and see how that falls for you.
Well, I think it's funny, like, and I think it always comes up for us at Study Clicks when we're trying to come up with maybe new features and we're trying to figure out what's the best way to make this work for students. And what we always come out with at the end is every student is so different. It's just so hard to come up with a perfect model for everyone because everyone learns in different ways and everyone wants different things and everyone does exams differently. And, you know, it came out, and obviously, like we're saying, there's a lot of students who are probably very relieved that they don't have to sit an exam. And but equally in the survey, we saw that a lot of those people aiming for 550 or more said that they just wanted to sit the exams to prove themselves and they wanted to do it just for the exam experience. And I think that's also like a very valid reason to want to sit the exam. If you've worked for 6 years and you want to, you know, everyone else, it's almost like a rite of passage doing the Leaving Cert. And it's, I remember we talked about this last year and saying that, you know, it's really sad that these 6 year students don't get this like very sort of Irish cultural experience almost. And that like, getting the opportunity to do that, even if you're happy with what results you get and you're not really aiming for high points, but that you just get the exam experience, and that's also a reason for doing it. And I think, yeah, it's funny what all the different students want to get out of it.
And so many people are different. Like, I think if it was me now, not me today, but 18-year-old me, I think I would grab my accredited grades and run and think I got away with murder. But then I spoke to my wife who said that she would feel like she'd be thinking about it for the next 10 or 15 years. What if I sat the exam? What way would it have gone? And she said, I don't know if I'd be able to let that sit with me to know, God, I didn't test myself in the environment, as you said, Emer, in that rite of passage that every Irish person goes through. And you do want to test yourself. But I think as an 18-year-old, I certainly would have said, if I don't have to sit an exam, I'm not sitting an exam and getting out of here with my accredited grades.
But that's the joy then of the accredited grades, you know, that you can give the exam a go and you always have something to fall back on. So that there's kind of, unless it's the thought of it is making you very worried, you might as well try it out. It would be my opinion.
I agree. Like, you know, guidance counselor me would say sit the exams. And you look, if the exam was a disaster, chances are the accredited grade is going to pull you up and you're going to get the best grade. So if you've applied for accredited grades and to sit the exam, if you get a H4 in your English exam and your teacher and your calculated grade gave you a H2, well then brilliant. You got away with that. And how it'll be given and your Leaving Cert results will be your best grade. So whether that's the accredited grade or the exam, it'll just be given your best grade. And then kind of a week later, I think, they're talking about people will get the data of whether it was your Leaving Cert or your accredited grade, because I think to appeal anything, you're going to have to see, well, look, am I appealing the Leaving Cert written exam as normal or am I appealing the accredited grade? Because they're two even very different appeals.
Right,
if you're looking
at
last year, the appeal, like the traditional appeal, you view the scripts, you say, look, I want to appeal this based on this, and see how it comes back. Where if you're appealing the calculated grade, the accredited grade, you're only appealing the transfer of data and to make sure that was processed properly. You cannot under any circumstances appeal the professional judgment of your teacher. That can't be done. So it will be important for students to know with the data where they got their Leaving Cert grade from, was accredited or the exam.
And do you know all of this? You know, I know that Ruben was talking about a student portal where you can sign up for the accredited grade. Is that all happening within the same student portal where you can get your results? Is this all the same?
Yeah, well, area? If it's the same as last year, it'll all happen in the student portal. So that's what happened last year. The student portal, as the minister said, will open early March this year. And RTE and the Irish Independent and the Irish Times have reported as the 8th of March that it's open. Now, that isn't coming out from an official source, but, you know, they have been reporting as the 8th of March. And it'll be interesting to see how long that portal is opened, how long students will have to make that decision, because that'll be crucial, you know, because they'll have to decide early on if they're going to sit their French or their Irish or their German or Spanish, even their musical practical if that goes ahead, you know, because they're all going to be happening the Easter break. So, and the Easter break is, I think, the 26th of March. We start our Easter break this year. So it's not that far away. There's only a few weeks left.
Has that been confirmed that orals and things will be on during Easter break?
So it's, they say 2 days over Easter or just after Easter. That's what the was in the press release. So I'd imagine it would be a lot easier to hold it over Easter.
While we're talking about orals and practical exams and stuff, I know there's definitely more information to be released about this because the specificities of each different practicals and whether they or not they will follow public health guidelines. What do we know so far about if you want to sit a written exam that involves an oral or a practical aspect? What do we know so far about those kind of subjects?
Yeah, so the practical one is the big one. So I think the issue is the kind of one day assessment. So in art, in engineering, and construction studies, subjects like this, you have a one day assessment, and they're going to be very hard to meet public health guidelines, because generally students are in one room, they're generally sharing equipment or whatever that might be. So I think that's going to be really difficult to do. There hasn't been anything official as to how that will be graded then if they can't do it. Does it go into the practical element of it or the written element of it? So all that has to be kind of thought about. So yeah, look, if you are going to sit the written exam, you will have to do your orals. All right. If you want to get the accredited grade, you don't have to sit the orals.
And am I right in saying that the accredited grade, you will always get the best mark regardless of which one you've opted? So let's say I've opted in to sit the exam, the French exam, let's say, and I've done my oral, but at the end of the day, the accredited grade is higher. I will get that, even though I've technically opted in for the SAT exam.
Yeah. So if the grade is higher, you'll get that. So regardless, you know, say if you thought that the oral was an absolute disaster and you thought the exam wasn't going to go well because of that your accredited grade could be very different. That your teacher could think, no, this student is pretty good at oral. I'm going to give them this grade, and it might not be what you achieve. So it's the same for the written.
Okay. For me, the wording kind of to opt in seems sort of like you either opt in for one or the other, and that, you know, a student might opt in for the written exam and then they're like their accredited grade turns out to be higher, and then but they have to get the written exam result because they've opted in for that. There's nothing like that. You always get the better one.
You'll always get the better one regardless if it's accredited or if it's the actual even cert. It'll be the best one. Yeah, because look, it's been unfair on these students. You know, they've had a difficult 2 years, and lockdown certainly, and online learning doesn't suit some students. You know, I think statistically students from socioeconomic disadvantaged areas and students who find academics really hard are less likely to engage in online learning. So they are students that have really suffered during this process, and it would be unfair of them then to have to do that traditional leave insert if that was the case. So it's tough.
Yeah. So another thing that's sort of come up in this whole conversation is canvassing and the idea of, you know, trying to get your teacher to influence, or trying to influence your teacher, I suppose, to change the grade or give you a specific grade. What are the specifics around that? Obviously, it's frowned upon, but are there any rules?
Yeah. So there are no specifics at all yet, other than there's legislation being put together to protect teachers from canvassing, you know, that your leave insert results will be withheld permanently if you are caught canvassing. So I know a lot of schools are telling students, just don't talk to your teacher about grades. And I think if you do that, you'll be fine. But I wouldn't even say it tongue in cheek. I wouldn't even say it in jest. You know, that, oh, sir, I'll do it if you give me a H1 and my leave insert. Just leave all that. Really consider it a very serious thing, canvassing, and try not to do it, like I said, even in jest for the next few weeks, because, you know, I'd imagine it's going to be taken very seriously by teachers and schools, because nobody wants to feel like their professional judgment is under pressure from students and even family members. And, you know, I think this canvassing might not relate to students as much as it might relate to parents, because parents, I think last year most teachers were feeling the pressure from parents rather than students. So I would absolutely not get in contact with a teacher about a calculated grade if you're a student or a parent listening to this. Absolutely leave it. Don't have anybody contacting on your behalf even either.
Yeah, and we're expecting more sort of clear do's and don'ts on this, obviously. But I would imagine, you know, asking your teacher what you can do to improve on your grade. You would imagine stuff like that is fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. So look, sir, what or miss, you know, what can I do to get my grade up? You let me know over the next few weeks, and I'll do my best to do that. And you know, I think that's a healthy conversation to have with your teacher. You know, how do I improve? So you're not asking your teacher, you know, what grade are you giving me? You're not saying, you know, give me this grade, but you're saying, look, what can I do? I really need that H5. Let me know what I can do to do that over the next few weeks. I think that's, to me, that should be okay. One thing I suppose that we might not have picked up on was provision being made for out of school learners. So if you're doing a subject outside of school or you're being homeschooled, and I'd imagine, you know, I know a lot of students who are doing a subject outside of school that are big Study Clicks people as well, because it really helps them with what they're doing. So, you know, if you're doing French or German or language or music is often popular outside of school, business studies, ag science can be very popular outside of school, that there will be provisions made for you this year where it was very difficult to do last year, particularly if the student didn't have a teacher. How that's going to work this year and they're going to make provisions haven't been outlined yet, and it is a tricky one.
So moving on to the CAO side of things, obviously that's your area of expertise. Does this whole process or these latest announcements change the whole CAO process at all?
Yeah, I think so. I think it will. You know, there will be a different strategy now, I think, going into your CAO. So like if you've, you know, done the first 4 or 5 CAO courses and you've looked at them and said, yeah, look, I'm very happy with those, I've done enough research, but then 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 you just kind of threw down there, they're the ones that I would really consider now. You know, have I put enough effort into researching these? Because there's a lot of factors you have to take into account now. I saw the chairperson of the CAO had said that points are likely going to go up this year, but look, if points are likely going to go up, people still have to get those places. You know, there's 8,000 more applicants this year for the CAO than there had been last year. And again, that's down to a number of factors. The increase in population, they're talking about more EU applicants. And even last year's 2020 class are probably reapplying this year as well. So there's a lot of things for students to take into consideration. He's saying it's likely that this calculated grade system is going to inflate the points. Now, that's just his opinion. Now, it's a very professional opinion, because this is what he does every year, and stats and analytics he looks after and looks at. So if that's the case, I think students need to be really prepared for their CAO. They really need to sit down and think, you know, is this 10th option an option that I would realistically take if it came down to it? That's the preparation I think that should go into it. That the 10th option for everybody has normally been, oh, I'll just throw this down. But now I think it's time to look at that 10th option and see, you know, is that for me? Is that what I want to do? And even also now I would recommend the students have a look at level 6s and 7s as well. Traditionally, some students don't put down any level 6 and 7s. I'd say absolutely that's an option now as well. The more options you have next August, the better. So if you're going to limit yourself to mistakes and then having no options, because you can be offered a level 6 and 7 course and you can be offered a level 8 course, and then you decide which one you want. So the more options you have, the better. That's why, you know, I think students applying to Europe and the UK is always a good thing. Look, if you get offered the place, great, you can always turn it down if you don't want it. But if it becomes a case that, you know, I really didn't get what I wanted in Ireland, then it becomes an option. So always keep your options open, I think.
Mm-hmm. And how is deferring any different this year? I assume you just, like the grade that you get, there's no difference if you want to wait until next year.
So each university, each higher education institute has their own deferral rules. Some of them are really, really strict. You can only defer if you're sick, if there's financial issues or whatever the case may be. So some others are really relaxed and it's, yeah, we're happy enough for you to defer the place if you want to do a PLC or go travelling or whatever the case may be. You can do that. So you will have to really look up the Higher Education Institute website and see what the deferral rules are, or even contact them and say, I'm thinking about deferring. What are the rules that I have to go by in this? So that's another really good, and a lot of people will probably decide to defer particularly, and even though deferrals, more or less stayed the same this year. They didn't go up. A lot of people thought it was good, they were going to go up this year, but they stayed the same. But, you know, if there's more online learning next year and not being on campus, I think students might say, look, I'll wait till everything's kind of back to normal and I'll defer for a year. So if you're deferring, you don't accept your offer whatsoever, you contact the Higher Education Institute immediately and say, I'm looking to defer. What's the next step? And they'll tell you what the next step is.
I hope you keep talking about options until there's no one left in the CAO who is leaving themselves with only courses over 500.
You wouldn't believe the statistic of the amount of students who get 500 plus points in their Leaving Cert and do not get a CAO offer. It's massive. It's hundreds and hundreds of students who get over 500 points, don't get a CAO offer because they're putting down maybe 5 medicine, 2 physiotherapy, and going to put dentistry in there. Before you know it, your 10 options are filled. They're all 550 plus. They might get 540 points and they don't get an offer. So I'm always a big proponent of that backup plan and make sure you have a backup plan. But I think now more than ever, you need that backup plan. I think you'd be crazy not to have that down on your CEO list.
We are pro backup plan here at StudyClicks. We should say that once a podcast, really hammer it home.
So perfect. Okay, I think that kind of covers it. Like we said at the start, there's only sort of so much that we can say that's actually confirmed. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled for more updates. You'll see a lot of updates on the ISSU website. We'll try to update you as much as possible on StudyClicks. We'll be having more podcasts on our social media as well. And Donica, I'm sure on your social media and podcasts as well, you'll be releasing
tidbits. Any updates at all, we will put up on the page. So if you're following the page, you'll get all those updates.
Perfect. So thanks so much, Donica, for coming on again. Also, it's such short notice. So great to get that information and have someone who's in the know for our lovely listeners. If you want to find Donica again, Donica, where can we find you?
Yeah, so it's at Leaving Cert Guidance on Instagram. And anything else we have, you'll see it on the Instagram page with podcasts and all that. So it'll be all on the Instagram page at Leaving Cert Guidance. And thanks so much for inviting me on. I always enjoy coming on to the StudyClicks podcast and listening to it as well. So it was great to be on.
Thank you. Anytime. And we'll surely have you on again at some point. So
last minute, as always.
Yeah.
You'll be in the middle of your dinner. You ready to hop on now?
So Nessa, do you want to give a quick update on where they can find us?
You can find StudyClicks on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and now TikTok. We, depending on when you're listening to this, we're hopefully doing something very exciting, a competition on TikTok soon, so definitely follow us there. And if you can hit that follow button wherever you listen to your podcast, if you had a bit of time on your hands, we'd love if you gave us a written review, 5 stars, if you like us. And yeah, that would be great.
That's it. Yeah. So if you have any other outstanding questions, we always do our best to try and answer them. Just get in touch, info@studyclicks.ie, or message us via social media or via the site. We'll try to get back to you ASAP. But otherwise, thanks so much for listening. We'll hear or see you in the next podcast. But otherwise, bye for now.
Bye.